This morning's reading is from Psalm 120, a song of ascents. I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Save me, Lord, from my lying lips and deceitful tongues. What will he do to you, and what besides you deceitful tongue? He will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrows, with burning coals of the broom bush. Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I am for peace, and when I speak, they are for war. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Fantastic. So we're into a new series. We've finished Ephesians, although actually during this talk we're going to go back to Ephesians because I think there's a bit in this for us from Ephesians as well. Just a quick raise of hands. Who's heard of these Psalms, Songs of Ascent? Who'd heard of that phrase? Who had heard of this section of Psalms? A few of us had heard them. My confession is that I'd heard of them and I thought I knew what they were. And actually, as I started to just read this particular one, it was suddenly not so much I knew what they were about, but I think I thought they were much more kind of like praise, worship, thanksgiving, coming into God's presence. And actually, there's so much more to these psalms. So as we come into this new series, let's have a think a little bit about what this section of Psalms is all about. It's called the Songs of Ascent. It's 15 psalms. Which start from Psalm 120, which is what we just had read, through to Psalm 135. They're relatively short psalms, particularly coming off the back of Psalm 119, which is the longest psalm in the Bible. So it's when you're reading through Bible in 1 year, you quite enjoy getting to these psalms, because they're a little bit shorter and easier to read, having done Psalm 119. As I said, there's 15 psalms in this section. And the word they use, the songs of ascent, songs of steps, songs of degrees could be the other words that are described. People have described them as the stairs of the temple songs, thinking about the steps that we'd climb up to outside of the temple itself. The temple is on the top of a hill and there are steps up to it. The steps songs. Some think that they are songs that were sang by the Levite priests. 15 of them because there was 15 steps, which were inside the temple. The gradual songs. The progression songs. The progression songs from Babylon. We'll come back to that. But that sense of being outside of the place that God had for them and being drawn back to home. And finally, the pilgrim festival songs. As you read around these psalms, most commentators will point towards this, not with absolute certainty, but their feeling is of, at least eventually these 15 psalms became the songs that would be sung by the people as they came to the temple in Jerusalem for the three festivals that they would need to attend, so Passover, Pentecost, and tabernacles, that these would be the songs that they sang, that they are songs that speak of the truth of being where they're at, that they're not fully in the place they want to be. They incorporate the stories of Israel, but they point to a future hope. That as we study and look through these 15 psalms, we will hear and be reminded of some of the stories of the people of God of Israel. But we'll also speak and see of a future hope. So this particular psalm, Psalm 120. Some of these psalms are written corporately, some of them are written individually. This one, we don't know who wrote it. We don't really know when it was written. They were compiled together as these 15, but the dating of these could be kind of a much longer period of time. We know some of the Psalms, which we'll come to later on in this series, have David as the acknowledged writer. But with this particular one, we're not sure who wrote it. But it's a song of lament. And I guess that was my first surprise. That often I've thought about the songs of ascent, getting ready to go towards the place that they saw and experienced the sense of coming close to God, that these would be songs of praise. But this is a song of lament. It's a song sung by somebody far away from Israel, living in a place that's not their home. As we live on the other side of the cross, as we live on the other side of all that Jesus has done for us, we recognize that, as Jesus said in Mark, that the kingdom of God is near, that we can experience his kingdom today and now. But we live in this tension of the kingdom now and the kingdom not yet. We live in that place of knowing that Jesus has done everything, but it is still being worked out. It speaks into our theology of healing, of wholeness. It speaks into our understanding of prayer. It speaks into the things that we see in our world that are not as we think they should be, not as God purposed them to be. The now and the not yet. At times we see glimpses of the fullness of God. And so as we read this psalm, we connect into someone who physically is living in that place. Living in the place of knowing all that God has done for them. Knowing that his presence is seen in the temple. But also being distant from that. And in that place, the psalmist writes, "In my distress, I cry out to the Lord. And he answered me." He heard me in some translations. So my question as we look through this psalm, and we'll come back to this at the end, is what is our response when we see things around us that are not as we'd want them to be? What is our response when we see the things of this world globally and personally that are not as we'd expect them to be in the kingdom of God? When we see pain and suffering, again, corporately and personally, how do we respond to that? In this particular psalm, the writer references their own personal experience of distress. It's built around accusation, about the deceit and lying lips. The accusations are thrown at them. The sense of treachery. The sense of falsehood. Lies are being thrown at them. And they're feeling the pain. They're feeling it personally. They know that's not what it should be like, yet it's real and personal to them. And in the midst of their lament, they remember that God is for them. There's a reminder in this of the judgment of God as understood through the Old Testament. He will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrows and burning coals of the broom tree. That sense of judgment. The warrior's sharp arrows, a symbol in Scripture. The burning coals of the broom tree being one that if you burn it well, creates charcoal, and it's the hottest and remains hot for a long time. So that sense of judgment that comes, knowing that one day all things will be put right. But the psalmist continues and reminds us as we read it of his position. These two places, using the words dwell and living among the tents, a sense of temporary living. One translation describes it as a soje, that kind of not permanent living. In Meshech and Kedar, two places that come up regularly as you look through the prophets of the Old Testament, Isaiah, Ezekiel, places that are mentioned, places that are too distant apart to be lived in at the same time. Perhaps a nod towards, a reminder of a temporary place that is lived in of the people of God among the Gentiles of that time, the furthest reaches of the Gentile world known to them. That living in that place, and again the reality of that, a desire to seek peace. But as this person speaks of peace, that all he hears is war. I am a man of peace, but when I speak, they are for war. This world in which they live, of which they seek the shalom peace of God, but is surrounded by war. Again, perhaps a place that is familiar to us, where we seek the shalom peace of God. So let's come back to that question that we had at the beginning. What is our response in these situations? I think there's three things that happen in this psalm that are helpful to us as we engage and as we think about connecting with God in these situations, in the midst of our own personal distress and in the midst of the distress that we see of the world around us. Firstly, the psalmist remembers. I called on the Lord in my distress, and he answered me. He remembers what God has already done, that his prayers have already been answered, that he's not crying out to someone who can't do anything about these situations. He remembers. And in that place, he cries out. He engages with the distress around him. He engages with the personal stress of his own. He cries out to God for these situations. Bring about change. Bring about your kingdom into these situations. And finally, he leaves it to God. He knows that God will deal with it all. That it's God's judgment that will come. So he remembers what God has done. He cries out from that place of confidence. And he leaves it with God to do and bring about his kingdom. That where judgment will be brought, that God will bring it. But lives in that place of trust. And as I said, I would bring us back to Ephesians. Because probably even last week, we looked at the end of Ephesians. Ephesians 6. Where again, arrows are talked about. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. In addition, he'd already gone through several pieces of the armor, but in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. Taking up the shield of faith, remembering what God has already done and standing firm in that, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The psalmist talks about the flaming arrows of judgment in this psalm. Paul talks of the flaming arrows that come, that of accusation. But the shield of faith protects and holds us. So where is God speaking to us today? Is there things for us personally that are bringing distress? Do we even fit into this category of personal knowledge of where others speak falsehood and are speaking against us? Perhaps for some of us that is the case. But perhaps there's other situations where we're feeling in distress personally. Or it may be that just we see the things around us, we see the world in which we live, and we recognize that it's not as God would want it to be. And so let's be a people who bring it to God. Let's be a people who cry out, remembering all that God has done, all that he has said. And let's cry out to him and let him answer it his way. So let's just take a moment. Again, it may be that we just come into a bit of time of prayer for ourselves or for situations that we face. Where do you face distress at this time? Father, I thank you that as we read the Psalms, we read the reality of people's lives, that there's no hiddenness. That they are real with you. And that we see that expressed through the Psalms, and particularly this one today of lament. And Father, I pray for us today where we carry lament today. A lament for what is not. Whether again that is personal or global. That we live in a time that is now and not yet. And Father, I pray for each of us that you would help us to cry out to you. Trusting in all that you have done. And trusting in all that you will do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's finish our time together by singing our final song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Let's stand if you're able.